From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio.
Radio.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
Wow, what a dynamite program today. Good heavens, man. Each individual hour just flying right by, but we're cramming as much in as we possibly can. I can't believe this hour is already upon us, but it is going to be a good one. And I'm going to warn you right now, it's going to move really quick. As Donald Trump would say, it's going to move very, very fast. It's going to be a very, very great hour of radio. You're going to learn a very, very a lot from my next guest coming up in just a moment, Andrew Branko. Get with Andrew in just a second. Boy, oh boy. Let me give you a quick recap. Those of you who might just be tuning in for this hour, I want you to go back and listen to the podcast version of Hour 1 and Hour 2 of Armed American Radio today. It was a great one. Alan Gottlieb in Hour 1. We rolled right through a number of topics with the great Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Jerry Henry was here from GeorgiaCarry.org. He's the executive director. I got to spend some time with my good friend Jerry and many good friends at Georgia Carry this weekend as I emcee the annual dinner every year. A great time and a reminder to each and every one of us, regardless of where we live, to join our state, our respective state grassroots organizations. Michael Bloomberg is taking his wallet to you at the state level. Institutional gun control, as I refer to it, at the federal level is done. It's not going to happen. Bloomberg knows it. He admitted it as much. I believe it was to the New York Times or the New Yorker or whoever it was that he was running his mouth about his gun control initiatives. And he is spending money to the tune of tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. And it isn't a drop in the bucket to him. He's worth over $40 billion. He can't spend his money in his lifetime, no matter how much he spends. $10 million, $20, $50, $100 million to him is a drop in the bucket. And he's using it to fight you. And, of course, A.W.R. Hawkins from Breitbart News, happy ending stories. Love the happy ending stories, the armed American stories. Second Amendment in action here in the great in America, in the great United States. The Second Amendment in action. Women empowering themselves with a firearm, stopping their attackers, saving their lives and their dignity, as AWR likes to remind us. Very powerful hour two, of course, and this one is going to be very, very huge. Love that. Very, very huge. My next guest is the author of The Law of Self-Defense, The Indispensable Guide for the Armed Citizen. It is one hell of a read. Let me tell you something. You have to have this thing. It really, truly is an indispensable guide. It will pop your eyeballs open like nobody's business. Because we all like to think, as we're driving down the road or when we walk out of our home, we know we're the good guy. We're the good guy. And everybody else is going to know that, too. Certainly, they're going to know that person attacking me is the bad guy, and I'm the good guy. And real life doesn't work that way. People see different things. We'll talk with Andrew about that and a number of other things in just a moment. But a quick background, he's an internationally recognized expert on American self-defense law, obviously. Now in his third decade of practicing law, he's also nationally consults for other lawyers in high-profile self-defense cases. He's a former guest instructor on self-defense law at the Sig Sauer Academy in New Hampshire, frequently featured speaker at law school on a gun law symposia around the country, provides legal expertise for such news outlets as the Wall Street Journal and NPR. This year, we'll also be speaking at the NRA annual meeting. He was speaking there, if I'm not mistaken. But began competitive shooting. He's been shooting for decades. He's the real deal. The book, The Law of Self-Defense, The Indispensable Guide for the Armed Citizen. Andrew, welcome to the program, brother.
Very happy to be here again, Mark. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Oh, love it. And I love your connection's great. You sound like you're in the studio with me, okay? Hey, when you I tell a lot of happy ending stories, Andrew, and I get a lot of email from people. People send me happy ending stories all the time. Now, a happy ending stories to me is when a good person, good guy, good gal prevails and survives an attack. And I remind my listeners, Andrew, that if you attempt to deprive another human being, in this case another American, another community member of yours, another citizen, of their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that you lose your right to all three of the above instantly the moment you commence that attack. And if you die in the process, which is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of the armed citizen is to stop the attack and to survive the attack. But if that person dies, the attacker dies in the process, well, too bad for you. You should have picked another line of work. I don't have any sympathy for that individual. But You know, at the end of every one of these stories, Andrew, I reminded my listeners in the previous hour, the end line of every story is the investigation into the shooting continues. Every one of them. How can that be? I'm the good guy. Certainly they know that.
Well, of course, the problem that people have to wrap their brains around is that none of the people who are evaluating your conduct in self-defense, not the police, not the prosecutor, not the judge, not the jury, none of them were there. None of them were there when you used force against that other person. And I have to say as well that the vast majority of claims of self-defense are bad claims of self-defense. They're bad people who did bad things, got caught, and are now claiming self-defense to try to escape criminal liability for their unlawful conduct. The good guy cases of self-defense are relatively rare compared to the many, many, many bad guy cases of self-defense that police and prosecutors and judges see. So it's really important that we know what the rules are so we can readily distinguish our defensive use of force, our good guy case of self-defense, from the norm that's moving its way through the criminal justice system, which is bad guy cases of self-defense.
You know, it's interesting, Andrew, many years ago, I don't know if I told you this before, but I was called for jury duty, and I had gotten out of it for the longest time because I was a one-man band at my company. But as my business began to grow and I had some employees, they zeroed in on me, and there was the excuse that I was the only one in the office no longer cut the mustard. And I wanted to do my civic duty. I wanted to serve on the jury, and I went in that day in Hillsborough County, Florida. You're listening in Tampa. And I was called. I was the first batch after being sworn in the morning at about 7 a.m. I was the first group. I was in that first group that was called out, and I actually got seated up there in the jury box, and they started asking me questions. It was a self-defense case. They would only tell us that the defendant who was sitting there was charged with two counts of manslaughter and that a firearm was used. That's all they would tell us. During questioning to me, I was asked if I could keep an open mind about self-defense, and I said I absolutely could. I was asked various questions, and I notified them that I was a concealed carry permit holder, and you would have thought you would have thought it went crazy. Both the prosecutor and the defense attorney, boom, can we approach the bench? They talked for a little bit, and I was very politely excused. Why? Why? I'm the guy that they would want on that jury.
No, you're not the guy they want. You have too much information. You know too much about what's actually going on, what's involved in self-defense. Both the prosecution and the defense would like jurors that are, they believe, will be easier to manipulate with their competing narratives of guilt or innocence. They prefer you be a blank sheet of paper. You know, it's funny. I do classes virtually every weekend all over the country on self-defense law, and typically there's 30 or 40 people in a class. And I always ask them, how many of you have served jury duty? And five or six or seven hands will go up. And then I'll ask, how many of you have tried to get out of jury duty? And every hand goes up.
Right, right.
And then I tell them, well, just imagine who that leaves left in the jury pool. You know, there's this phrase everyone's heard called jury selection. I can tell you from my perspective doing criminal defense work, I don't get to select a jury. I'm given a jury. I have a modest ability to deselect individual jurors. I can say I don't want that guy there. But when I say that, I don't know if the person coming behind them is better or worse than they are. The pool's been selected for me, and that's all I have to work with. And I tell my clients, you could be the most innocent client who's ever come into my office. If I put you in front of a jury, there's a 10 to 20% chance you're going to get convicted because juries are unpredictable. It's a very, very dangerous thing to put yourself in front of a jury unless you absolutely had to. I keep reminding people, the moment you go hands-on or guns-on, you've done two things. You've incurred a greater than zero risk of death in the physical fight and a greater than zero risk of going to jail in the legal fight. There's no way to reduce those risks to zero. It's impossible. So you better make sure that the stakes you're fighting for are worth the risks you're incurring.
When that firearm comes out of its holster, you had better be right. And I hope you're paying attention to this stuff. You had better be paying attention to this. This is fascinating conversation. You're going to hear it for the remainder of the hour. We're not going to deviate. We're going to stay on these topics. Andrew, I'm going to be honest with you. When I have you on, I don't have a lot of bullet points written for you. I let this conversation flow because I think it makes for great radio. It's a conversation amongst two individuals that other people get to hear as if you and I were sitting together at a function somewhere, if we were sitting at a USCCA dinner table or an NRA convention. It's fascinating stuff. And, boy, the education that you're about to get for the rest of the hour is huge. Let me ask you this before we go to a break. Jury of my peers, is there such a thing?
No, very rarely. And if it does happen, it's a matter of luck.
All right. The reason I ask that is my father became the foreman of a jury down in Fort Myers, Florida, on a case a number of years ago of a multimillionaire businessman charged with about 30 different counts of fraud. And he reminded me after, and the guy wound up getting convicted on 9 charges. And my father said he'd have been convicted on all 35 or whatever it was charges had I not been sitting on that jury as a businessman himself. And he said it was frightening, frightening who was judging this man on that jury. Frightening. And he reminded me there's no such thing as a jury of your peers. We'll be back right after this with Andrew Branca. Powerful radio. Don't go away.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
I wish I could say I was shocked to hear the Chicago Tribune report that 56 people were wounded, 11 of them fatally, over the weekend in Chicago. But the reality is we're living in dangerous times. Of the lives that were taken, one belonged to 10-year-old Gustavo, who was simply riding in a car with his dad when he was attacked. Can you believe that? An innocent child. It reminded me of a story I heard recently about a USCCA member, David, whose own young sons were threatened by armed thugs during a trip to the barber shop. David was forced to defend his family with his firearm, killing one thug and wounding the other. The good news is the USCCA is there to help you. They were there to guide David through the devastating aftermath. Visit armedandresponsible.com to hear all the shocking details from David's story and to see the live news footage that captured the very moment he was forced to shoot. And while you're there, discover how you too can protect your family's future from the unthinkable. Just go to armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of 4 guns. Just go to oneof4guns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
We'll be right back. Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Boy, you're in for a great hour of radio. I love this. I mean, this is such a fascinating conversation to have, and I'm so honored and thrilled to be able to put it on this microphone and bring it to you so that you can hear this. If you carry a firearm, whether it's every day, all day, which you should be carrying it every day, all day, you're going to want it if you don't have it, believe me. You'd rather have it and not need it. But if you carry a firearm, even part-time, you had better understand some of this stuff, and you're in for a real treat. This conversation is quite fascinating. I love having it. I'm talking with the attorney Andrew Branke. He is the author of The Law of Self-Defense, the indispensable guide for the armed citizen. I'll get that out. I didn't have my glasses on, so it was kind of tough to read over there. Andrew Branke, welcome back. Third edition now? Is that right?
Third edition, yep. And Mark, before...
When did the third edition come out? Yeah, go ahead.
I always forget when we end the show, but as a courtesy to your listeners, we have a discount code, AAR, for Armed America Radio, 20% off everything we do, everything from the book,
wow,
$25, to our instructor program, which is a $1,000 class, but it's only good for a week. So AAR, use that discount code at lawofselfdefense.com, save yourself 20%.
Wow, that's huge, Andrew. Thank you very much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, please make note of that. We'll talk about that for the remainder of the hour. That's a huge discount, lawofselfdefense.com. Huge discount. Promo code AAR, correct? That's it? AAR.
Yes, sir.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. We'll mention that again throughout the hour. All right. I got a couple scenarios here. I've been looking forward to talking with you about this. I was talking on my daily class, or daily, to my daily listeners. And I thought, you know, it would be kind of fun to have it, because it'd be like you were in a class, teaching a class with us, because this is a question I would ask. And I got to talking about this. This is something that happens to most Americans that have a driver's license, Andrew, and that's a road rage. At some point in our driving history and career, we're going to be involved in what could be defined as some form or sort of road rage. There was a self-defense case out in Glendale, Arizona, that unfolded last week. AWR Hawkins wrote about it. I talked about it. We talked about it in the last hour. In this case, two women were involved. One woman cut another woman off, and the woman who got cut off just had one of those days and wasn't going to let it go and began pursuing the vehicle who cut her off. It spilled over onto the side of the road. The woman who did the cutting off had a passenger in the car who was attacked by the pursuing driver. She was warned by the driver, the victim in this case, who was being attacked, that she had a firearm. The driver of the car who cut her off had a firearm, and to stop hurting her passenger. The moment she said that, the pursuing driver then went after her. Not a smart move when someone tells you, I've got a gun, stop. The woman came over, got her in a headlock, a shot was fired, and that was the end of that. My question to you is, number one, as an attorney, should this thing have even gotten to that point, Andrew, and what's your advice if it happens to us?
I think in my whole career, I've seen one or two road rage incidents where the person who we'd like to characterize as the defender really had to get into that fight. Almost all the cases I've seen, there was the defender decided to at least stop and initially engage with this other person. They weren't literally forced off the road with no way to go forward or backwards or escape the situation. Now, that can happen. You can be caught in traffic, or the person can block you in a way where you can't escape. But most of the time, in my experience, escape is possible. And I tell everybody, I don't care if you're in a stand-your-ground state or not. If you have a safe avenue of escape, for Pete's sake, take advantage of it. Because if you get involved in a fight, you are this close to, at best, assuming you don't die in the conflict yourself, at best, finding yourself in a position where you're writing out checks for tens of thousands of dollars to attorneys in the hope that for 30 or 40 grand, they can get you out of having to go to trial. If you go to trial, it's going to cost you tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why do that if you don't have to?
Andrew, would you, as an attorney taking on a case like this, would you put a lien on someone's house in order to be paid? Would you do that?
Well, no, that's not how it works. I mean, well, first of all my clients are other attorneys, so I'm really a legal consultant at this point in my career. So I just tell the other attorney what my retainer is, and they pay it or they don't pay it. Typically, they do pay it, or if they didn't need me, they wouldn't have called me in the first place. So the attorney's paying. How he gets the money from the client is not my business. I will say, considering your show is sponsored by USCCA, that I've worked on cases for a number of USCCA members, and I know that their attorneys get paid very promptly by USCCA, and
That's right.
Get paid very promptly. So when I am offered a USCCA member case, I tell them what my retainer is, and I get a check from USCCA overnight. And I work on that case immediately starting the next day.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that. The point that I'm trying to make is an attorney is going to get paid. They're not going to cut their fees. They're going to get paid. They're going to do what they have to do to get paid. Your butt is in a sling. And if you don't have the money, I'm glad you brought up that USCCA. We're going to go there coming back from the next break, because you handle cases for them, and that self-defense shield, which pays for that, pays for you and pays for the other attorneys. And, of course, you've seen it firsthand. But, yes, their attorneys will do what they have to do to get paid. That's real life. You don't want to find yourself in this situation.
Just to clarify, what I mean, when you ask me if a lawyer is going to put a lien on someone's house, that's not what lawyers do. We just tell you we want the money up front. We need a retainer up front or we can't work on your case. So how you get that money is up to you. If that means you have to take out another mortgage on your house, that's a terrible thing, but that's not my responsibility. Because lawyers know that if we don't get the money up front, we don't get paid.
You guys are going to get paid, as you should, right, for handling the case. It's that simple. You don't want to get involved with us. Andrew, you've said it on the show before. You don't want to have to deal with me. And I mean that in the sense that you don't want to have to go through this process. Now, let me tell you something. You know, there's that old adage, people like to hate on lawyers until the day they need one, then they want the best they can get. All right, so I'm going to ask this question. If I put myself in a situation like that woman did, and she did, that I could have avoided, and guns come out, and somebody goes to shooting, can I claim self-defense in that case?
Well, it all depends on what the nature of your contribution to the dispute was. If it was merely verbal or gestures, you can absolutely claim self-defense. If it was conduct that could be characterized by the prosecutor as provocation, and in legal words what that means is you're trying to provoke the other person into a fight with the intent of using physical force against them. In other words, you're trying to start a fight. Then under the law, you're generally considered an aggressor in that fight, even if they throw the first punch, because you're goading them into throwing the first punch. And if you're the aggressor or the provoker in a fight, you cannot claim self-defense.
So if this woman, we'll close this out before I know we're getting ready to take a break, Shanto, I think. Fascinating. I'm not paying 30 seconds. I'm not paying that much attention to the clock because I want to talk so many directions I can go with you. So I'll take it to the break with this. I would assume then, and you can tell me when we come back from a break if I'm right or wrong, but if that woman had pulled over, gotten out of the car, and then started running towards that other driver and attacking that driver, that would be different than if she pulled over and said, what? Put her hands up and said, what are you trying to do here? That's going to be a little bit different response, and the court is going to look at that differently, and the law will look at that differently as to how you are deemed the aggressor or not, or how much of the aggressor. Here's the bottom line. Don't stop. Take that car to a police station. Get on 911. Tell them where you're at, and don't put yourself in this position to begin with, and we don't have to have this conversation. When we come back, I've got another fascinating question for Andrew Branca, author, The Law of Self-Defense. We'll be back.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, USCCAOnAir.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website USCCAOnAir.com. USCCAOnAir.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting USCCAOnAir.com. Don't miss out.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to these safest radio studios in all of America, the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters, of course, every day, 6 days a week, filling your prescription for freedom here on this microphone across the country, now on this monster cast. 3 solid hours. Really, every single week in hundreds of cities on nearly 200 radio stations, 177 digital cable outlets. Gosh, good heavens, Talk American Network and everything else. You can also hear me on Wednesdays, 0500. I'll be on with the Captain's America Third Watch, the Captain Matt Bruce, down in Tampa, Florida on AM 860, our great Tampa affiliate, AM 860, The Answer. I do a couple segments with the Captain every Wednesday morning at 0500. So if you're up, make sure you're tuned in. We always have a great conversation about all kinds of fun stuff, and we always take it back to guns. Captain's a lot of fun. The Captain's America Third Watch. Check him out online also. All right. I'm talking with Andrew Branca, author of The Law of Self-Defense, The Indispensable Guide, and it is the indispensable guide to the armed citizen. Andrew, welcome back. Got another question for you. First, before I go there, was I safe in saying there's a difference in the way you're going to be viewed if you pulled over and started asking what in the world is going on versus getting out and running up to that window and trying to reach into that driver and said, I've had enough of you?
There's absolutely, because the former is not clearly an aggressive act and the latter is. But people need to keep in mind that, again, nobody who's judging your conduct after the fact, not the police, not the prosecutor, not the judge, not the jury, was there. So from a legal perspective, it matters less what actually happened than what the evidence suggests happened. So you could pull over to the side of the road just to ask what that person wants. And if they have three people in their car that are going to testify, provide statements to the police when things go south, and all those people are going to say that you threw the first punch, what's the evidence? Now, it could be a lie, but the evidence are those statements.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. A lie, they're under oath. Nobody lies in court. And the truth is going to come out. The truth is going to come out. And that's what happened. I'm the good guy here. Those people are lying, but wait, they're under oath. Certainly everybody's going to know. Now, of course, a lot of wishful thinking there, right? That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Absolutely. And even if there was a way at trial to absolutely get at the truth, if we go to trial, in a sense, we've already lost because now we're incurring hundreds of thousands of dollars in expense. We want this to go away long before trial, which means we're vulnerable to those false statements because those false statements haven't yet had an opportunity to be proven false. We don't want to make ourselves vulnerable to what false testimony people may give, again, unless we have to and unless the stakes are worth the risks.
All right, Andrew, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I know I did everything right. I know those people are lying. I mean, you can tell by looking at them. Look at them. I mean, they're drug dealers, for God's sakes. Look at me. I live behind the gated driveway. I'm the good guy. My background shows it. I've never been in trouble. I think I've had one speeding ticket in my life. I've never been in trouble my whole life. I always got good grades. I'm college educated. I got a really good job, and I know I'm right, and I am right, and they're not telling the truth. But the judge or the prosecutor just offered me 2 years at a lesser charge instead of going to trial. And damn it, I'm not doing 2 years, but if I go to trial and lose, I'm looking at 20. What do you do then?
Yeah, we as an attorney, we run into this all the time. So a person could be facing a manslaughter charge, meaning a manslaughter conviction, of course, if they go to trial, or even murder, which could be, you know, life with no possibility of early release. And then they're offered a plea deal. And maybe it's a couple years in jail. Maybe it's no time at all, but it's still a felony conviction. And, of course, our clients don't want to take those deals because they're actually law-abiding people who believe they didn't do anything wrong. Now, maybe they have a very strong defense. But from my perspective, if you're facing 20 to life with no possibility of early release and you're offered 2 years, I'm going to argue with my client pretty hard that they should seriously consider that 2 years because, again, I can't promise you acquittal. If I put you in front of a jury, I don't care how innocent you are, there's a 10 to 20% chance you're going to get convicted, no matter how innocent you are. So if you're offered a 2-year deal, I'm going to encourage my client to take that very, very seriously because if they don't, they're really rolling the dice.
And I want you to play theater of the mind, listener, to what you're hearing here. If you're carrying a firearm, this is very serious business. You're listening to one of the best there is. And that does happen all the time. I got that example on my computer moments ago from another case. This happens all day long. I want you to think about yourself being put in that position. You know you're right. You know you did nothing wrong. And you didn't. But as Andrew said, the evidence, no one was there, and this is the offer they're making you. And I want you to think about that. Boy, I'll tell you, that gun doesn't come out unless you are going to die unless it does. It's that simple. It's that simple. This is education here like you don't get anywhere else. Andrew, there was another case out that was, again, fascinating. I talked about it during the daytime show, and I couldn't wait to get you here. Illegal activity, clearly blatant illegal activity. I've got a wad of pocket in my money. I'm a heroin addict, and I need drugs. So I go to meet my heroin dealer at a street corner downtown somewhere, wherever that downtown is. And he's got what I'm looking for, and he shows it to me, and he's by himself, and I've got the money he needs. And I've also got a gun because I'm dealing with drug dealers here, all right? And I'm not supposed to have the gun. And as soon as I pull out my money and we come to terms, somebody that's working with the drug dealer comes around the corner and attacks me armed to rob me, and I shoot in self-defense of my life. Now, this is a real case I talked about the other day. The question goes back to what I asked before, clearly illegal activity. by people who were there doing illegal things. How is that viewed by the courts?
Well, you don't lose your natural right to self-defense just because you're engaged in illegal activity, unless, of course, the illegal activity is an act of aggression against another person. Then you're the aggressor in the fight, and you lose self-defense. But if your illegal activity has nothing to do with a use of force, like you're simply engaged in a drug transaction, you don't lose the legal defense of self-defense per se. What you can lose is some special self-defense privileges. The most common would be stand your ground. There's a lot of states that build into their stand your ground statutes that you only qualify for stand your ground. You only have this duty to retreat removed from you so long as you're not engaged in illegal activity. So you would lose that in those states if you were engaged in a drug transaction. But you don't lose self-defense generally. Just because you're engaged in a drug deal doesn't mean that someone else is allowed to kill you. You're still allowed to defend yourself against that person. Now, of course, you're still on the hook for the drug deal. And if you're not supposed to have the gun, you're still on the hook for the gun charge. And all kinds of other stuff could be in play. But in terms of the use of force and self-defense, you're still entitled to make that self-defense argument in front of the jury.
Yeah, and you are entitled to say, I'm a felon. I'm a convicted felon. The gun was the only thing that was available to me where I was. I was defending my life. Are they allowed to use the firearm then, too? Obviously, they can't say, well, I'm going to die, but I'm not allowed to touch that gun. What happens in a situation like that?
We have cases where convicted felons are, for example, visiting someone else's home. And that other person is allowed to have guns, and there's guns in the home. And then there's a home invasion. And the felon picks up the homeowner's gun and uses it to defend them. And that's been found to be lawful because the felon's possession of the gun was essentially incidental to acting in self-defense. What felons like to do is they like to say, well, I carry a gun every day, and I do it for purposes of self-defense, and that should be lawful. And the courts say, no, that's not the case. If you have to grab for a gun in an instant of self-defense, that's one thing. We're not going to let you just carry a gun around.
We're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, you just spoke at the FBI. I want to go into that. That's very cool. So we're going to move quickly in the next segment. The reason I asked that, somebody is probably out there scratching their head going, well, I'm not a felon. We're law-abiding people. Why is he asking questions about that? The reason I did that was because what I wanted to point out to you was that there is something bigger than man-made law, and it's called natural law. It's called the human right to self-defense. No man-made law can take that away from you. As a law-abiding citizen, that's why you have the right to bear arms. I hope that sunk in. We'll be back with Andrew Branca. Don't go away. Great stuff, man.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights, Mark Walters.
That's Mickey and the boys over at the Whitest Light. I got to sit down. That music rejoin is really good stuff from the Whitest Light out of Missouri. Got to have dinner at Hetty's Barbecue in Republic, Missouri. You're listening to the show right now, Springfield, Republic, Missouri. Great to be here with you. And, man, if you get a chance, make sure to head out to Hetty's Barbecue. They're great folks over there. The Crossbreed, you never know. You'll probably run into some of the Crossbreed folks over there in Republic at Hetty's Barbecue. Wonderful stuff. And I got to have dinner with Mickey and one of his bandmates there not too long ago when I was up visiting the Crossbreed facility at Crossbreed Holsters. It was wonderful. So we use his music on the rejoins. Great stuff. The Whitest Light. Check it out. You can buy it on iTunes. I bought the album. It was great. Love it. Fun stuff. Andrew Branko, welcome back to the show, brother. You mentioned the USCCA. The self-defense shield, Andrew, I've got the platinum and $1.15 million in protection. It's worth every flipping penny, isn't it?
Well, I guess it depends upon every person. I can tell you that the experience I've had as an attorney has been in representing their clients is we've had very good outcomes for the members I've been involved with, and the members not paid a penny beyond whatever their membership cost is.
And yeah, I'm talking tens
of thousands of dollars in legal expenses they did not have to incur.
You better believe it. So there are cases. I'm going to be working with one of them to bring them to the radio program, too, by the way. One of them, who was a member for a month, made a $13 payment and had, as you just heard Andrew say, tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars in fees paid for him with a positive outcome. Really amazing stuff, man. When you're right, you're right. And, boy, you can always use that help. ArmedAndResponsible.com is our new website. Make sure to check it out. And you've got a discount for us on your book and everything else. Tell us about that and the coupon code one more time, please.
The discount code is AAR, Armed America Radio. It's good at lawofselfdefense.com. It's good on our books. It's good on our live classes, our online classes, our instructor program. It would save you $200 there, 20% off, but it's only good for a week. So if you're interested, take a look. Remember the coupon, apply it to your purchase.
Boy, if you're listening to the program a couple days late on podcast, head over there. That's a big deal. I did not know you were going to do that. Thank you very much for that. So, and I'll continue to push that throughout the week on the daytime show, Andrew. I hope that's okay, all right? We'll get that moving.
Absolutely.
All right, good. Excellent stuff. Law of self-defense. Now, the FBI, you teach all over the country. You teach you've been interviewed in Germany and everything else on television. This topic fascinates people. What were you talking about with the FBI? Why would they want to talk to Andrew Branca?
So it's interesting. The FBI runs a program called the National Academy, which is where I spoke this past week. And the National Academy is not FBI agents. It's senior-level law enforcement from all over the country, local departments, city departments. It's the pool of guys who are not yet chief, but they're in the pool to be chief. They're just below that level. And they have an opportunity to go to the FBI Academy in Quantico and essentially attend the Harvard of law enforcement education. And the FBI brings all these guys together and then brings them instructors who are leaders in their field to teach them in a way that their own departments could never afford to do. So it's very prestigious for those officers who attend. And when the FBI called me to ask me to speak there last week, it was very prestigious for me. It was very humbling.
Right.
Now, they asked me to give a one-hour talk, kind of an after-hours talk. So it wasn't during the formal course of the day. So it was optional. So for all I knew, I was going to show up and nobody would attend my talk because they're not required to attend. But out of a couple hundred people in the class, we had 60 people show up. And what I talked about was false narratives, these false narratives that are built around these use of force cases. And then when the false narrative is destroyed in court, because, of course, they're false, they're lies, and the lies are exposed in a courtroom, when they're defeated at trial and the defendant gets acquitted, the local community is outraged because what they know is not the actual evidence. They don't know the truth. What they know is the lie. And the acquittal seems like an egregious injustice if you believe the lie is the truth. And that's how we get riots and increased hostility to police, because people believe something wrong has been done. And so what I was talking to these officers about was the importance of not allowing this to happen, of grabbing that false narrative, the narrative track very early, getting the real evidence out there so that the community understands what really happened and not the lies they're being told about what happened. If they knew what really happened, they wouldn't be outraged by the verdict. So that was the topic of my talk. And of course, these are very controversial cases. These are George Zimmerman,
right.
Michael Brown, Freddie Gray, Philando Castile. And I have to confess, I talk about these subjects all the time, but I was a little nervous talking about them in front of 60 senior-level law enforcement from all over the country. But every one of them had to fill out a feedback form after the talk, and when they counted those up, they were 93%. Andrew Branca did a great job. We want him back. So it looks like I'll be teaching there regularly.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. And that's that. Listener, this is what you're hearing here. This is the caliber of guests that you've got on Armed American Radio. And, boy, I tell you, I hope every other radio host out there, I know you make the rounds, hears this. And I'm certainly going to push it. Everybody needs to hear you. You need to be on everybody's radio program getting this information out. You know, Andrew, John Lott is estimating now about 16.5 million concealed carry permit holders across the country. And there are, of course, many millions more who carry a firearm that don't need a permit as states go permitless across the country. So there are far more. And then there are people who are carrying without permits, and even though they should have permits. And they, believe it or not, are law-abiding people, or think they are, at least at that stage of the game. But the fact of the matter is that when it comes down to knowing the law, Andrew, I don't know all of the law. I don't know everything. And I know that I felt that what I did was right under the circumstances because I had no choice. Now all of a sudden I find myself needing your services. What is your advice to keeping someone from having to call you in the first place? Does that question make sense? I don't want somebody to have to
absolutely.
Use you.
Absolutely. Where I see law-abiding people get into trouble is out of simple ignorance. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean that in the technical sense. They simply didn't have the information they needed to have to make decisions that were consistent with the law. One of the biggest problems I run into is not people who have who know nothing about self-defense law, they know a lot about self-defense law. Unfortunately, most of what they know is wrong. Most of what they know, they learn from anecdotes or news stories where they heard someone did something and then they weren't prosecuted. And they conclude from that anecdote that that person's conduct must have been lawful then because they weren't prosecuted. Prosecutors use their discretion all the time not to bring people to trial who they could bring if they wanted to. And the danger of believing that's the law is you could do the same thing as that person who wasn't prosecuted but end up with a different prosecutor or the same prosecutor on a different day. And he makes a different decision and you're going to trial. And if your conduct, in fact, violated the law, you are completely vulnerable to prosecution.
You know, fascinating, because I'll go the opposite there. George Zimmerman. You know, George Zimmerman was not going to be prosecuted until it got political and Angela Corey was brought in, and there's your prosecutorial discretion. She chose to go after him when, under Florida law, he was not going to be prosecuted. The whole thing's a mess. But, boy, wow, Andrew Branca, thank you, man, for everything that you do. Thelawofselfdefense.com. Lawofselfdefense.com. Take advantage. Use the code AAR, 20% off. Andrew has offered us for a week as Armed American Radio listeners. At the very least, buy the book at 20% off. Figure it out. Andrew Branca, thank you, brother. Can't wait to talk to you again. I will be back tomorrow.
Anytime.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. We're going to get up and do it all over again. Freedom never takes a break. It never will. I promise you. You know that. Been doing this with you for nearly a decade. In the meantime, until tomorrow, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Have a great day. Rest of the weekend. I'll see you on the radio.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.